This is the BBC.
This podcast is supported by advertising outside the UK.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
This week's Woman's Hour Parenting podcast is about screen time and how you monitor your children's use of screens, whatever it is they're doing, iPads, games, whatever. And your host is Tina Dehealy.
Now, the first ever Fortnite World Cup took place this year. A staggering 40 million people applied to enter, but only 100 made it to the final in New York to compete for a share of £24 million in prize money. Jaden Ashman, a 15-year-old from Hornchurch in London, went home with almost £1 million as runner-up. Now, he was spending more than 8 hours a day playing the video game in the run-up to the tournament. His success will no doubt have led to some interesting conversations in households all over the country about how much time young people should be allowed to spend playing the game. How have you approached the amount of screen time your kids are allowed? Is it a constant battle? Joining me to discuss this is Mark Griffiths, who is Professor of Behavioural Addiction at Nottingham Trent University. And I'm also joined by Belinda Palmer, who campaigns against tech addiction. Before we hear from them, let's hear from Jaden. Following his win, and here he is talking about his mum's attitude to him playing.
Me and my mum clashed quite a lot. She didn't, understand how it worked. So she thought I was spending, 8 hours a day in my room just wasting my time. So now that I've proved to her that I can do stuff, I'm really happy.
And here's what his mum, Lisa Dalman, had to say on the Today programme.
We have struggled a lot, a hell of a lot. I found it hard because, obviously, Jaden, I was getting phone calls from the school saying he's fallen asleep in school and that kind of stuff. But he is above average on all of his grades. But, you know, we've had a lot of issues in the household because of Jaden's gaming. And he shares a room with his little brother as well, which doesn't help. There has been cases where he's gone to stay at his dad's or his nan's because I've taken the Xbox away from him. I've actually broken an Xbox. I mean, a headset. The headset he's actually got here in the hotel that he's brought with him to New York has actually got sellotape at the top.
Some of those issues relatable to many parents listening, I am sure. I'd be interested to know what you both make of that, Mark. Belinda?
I think, it's really good to hear how honest Jaden's mum is about it. But I think from Fortnite's perspective and the games industry, it's totally irresponsible to have such a huge pot of money available to our children. And, you know, while Jaden is a success story, he's the exception. You know, there are, for every Jaden, there are hundreds of thousands of teenagers or young children who are susceptible to games addiction.
Why is it irresponsible?
Because the amount of money, I think there's a couple of issues. I think the amount of money, the pot, as you said, is 24 million. I mean, Fortnite makes $203 million in a single month. So the volume of cash in this industry is just immense. But the issue is they don't spend it on anything like mental health research, understanding who plays their games.
How is it different to young boys and girls aspiring to be footballers?
Well, I think, you know, if you compare it to playing a sport or a musical instrument, the thing is, or even watching TV, the TV doesn't cyberbully you. The TV is not designed, or, you know, football is not designed in a way to manipulate and hijack our brains. Let's not forget that our teenagers are vulnerable. You know, they're at the stage of their life where their brains are incredibly susceptible to risk and reward.
But some people would say, not all, of course, footballers haven't exactly been great role models for children and teenagers growing up. Mark?
Yeah, I agree with what Belinda has just said. Again, the football analogy is very good. I think lots of young boys want to become professional footballers, but actually, it's
and
a
girls.
Lot better. And my daughter's a soccer player as well. What I'm trying to say is the chances of being a professional footballer, either male or female, you're going to have a lot better chance of doing that than actually winning the World Cup at Fortnite. And in fact, you know, Belinda just mentioned that, you know, hundreds of thousands of children, you know, are not going to be able to do that. It's in the millions, basically. You know, I've spent over 30 years now studying video game addiction. And the good news for parents is that, you know, very few children would actually ever be classed as having a gaming addiction or gaming disorder. I think the issue about Fortnite, of course, as I say, that parents are going to be having those conversations this week, because children are going to be turning around and saying, look, if I practice this and I play for lots of hours, then I could win the World Cup. But we have to realise the chances of that are infinitesimally small. And, you know, I was glad to hear that Jaden's grades are good. And I think when you are practicing for something like Fortnite, it's not going to be unusual, because esports players do play 8, 9, 10 hours a day to practice. I think what this competition should have done is actually not allow children to play in the first place, have an 18 age to start with. I do think I won't necessarily go too far to say it's irresponsible, but I do think, you know, we're now, you know, having kids that are going to have unrealistic dreams of winning a video game World Cup based on what they're doing in their bedrooms.
But listen, you've just hit the nail on the head, haven't you? Very few children go on to develop gaming addictions.
Yeah.
Well, so surely that means, you know, we are looking at people who've become runners-up in a competition. 40 million people applied to enter. Only 100 got to that final, a few won. 8 hours, playing for 8 hours a day is the extreme, surely.
Yeah, and I think addiction is one end, and I think we need to take it seriously. And as the, you know, internet games disorder is now a recognised disorder by the World Health Organization. I am the auntie of the first boy who got diagnosed with games addiction in the UK. I have seen the impact and the devastation on a family in terms of relationship with parents. I mean, Jaden's mum talked about the battle, and I use the word battle, that she's had with Jaden. You know, it causes devastation, and it causes so many arguments. And I think the other thing is, when we look at, you know, I'm a mum, I'm struggling to kind of regulate this with my children, and a lot of the parents are. I feel that it's a digital sedative that kind of blunts our children's emotions. You know, I want our children to grow up with empathy, with social skills. Those are skills you have to practice, you have to learn. At least with the football, you're out and about, you're learning collaboration, you're learning team player. You know, and while some people will argue, oh, there's such a team element in Fortnite, the way it's designed is you can't actually leave the game if someone in your team doesn't want you to. So what I'm saying is, actually, how can it be good to spend 8 hours a day? At the cost of what?
Well, yeah, Belinda, let me just bring in a message from Kate that's just come in. On that point, if the boy who won the £1 million on Fortnite was spending 8 hours a day reading science books, would people complain? I think we know what the answer to that is. But is the problem here that we are using screens, inverted commas, as a catch-all which covers everything? Netflix, how much time you spend on social media. I mean, being on a screen could also be being on your laptop doing your homework for a couple of hours of an evening.
Yeah, and no one's anti-tech. I think Mark and I, we share very similar views on this. You know, we're not anti-tech, we're not anti-games addiction. You know, technology is wonderful for all the benefits it gives us, you know. But the point is here that it's irresponsible the way these technologies and games are designed. You've got the CEO of Netflix saying his biggest competitor is sleep. You know, these games companies spend no money on research. They don't verify the age limit. You know, the age of Fortnite is 13, the age restriction. But there are so many children who are under 13, and the companies don't care.
Mark?
Yeah, I have to admit, Belinda's hit one nail on the head there, is that the gaming industry do not put any money for research into this. You know, I work in the areas of gambling and social media and video games. The gambling industry have now put millions of pounds into research. The social media companies are putting millions of pounds in research. Instagram the other day announced a big research pot to look at the very issue of problematic Instagram use. At the moment, the gaming industry are still putting their heads in the sand and say there is no problem out there. As I say, the World Health Organization now recognizes gaming disorder. The American Psychiatric Association recognizes internet gaming disorder. This is something we do need more research on. And again, the issue of screen time, you know, when I talk about screen time, it's not about the number of hours, it's about the content and the context of that screen time. Because as I say, I mean, my kids will probably say to me, "Dad, you're on the screen more than they are." And I am, because that's part of my job. It's a functional use. And again, playing 6 hours of Call of Duty versus, you know, 6 hours playing, you know, mass educational games or whatever, it's a totally different context there. So we can't really talk about screen time as being, the kind of elephant in the room, because, you know, there's lots and lots of good uses of screen time. And as I say, I mean, Belinda just said she wasn't anti-games addiction. I think she meant she wasn't anti-games, and I'm the same. You know, I have three screenagers. They all spend a lot of time in front of screen-based technologies. The one thing that my kids don't do that I used to do when I was their age, they don't watch television particularly. You know, as a parent myself, as long as my kids are doing doing their education, their physical education, their chores around the house, and they've got those kind of life, you know, those face-to-face interaction with their friends, to be honest, I'm not too bothered what they do with their disposable time that's left. And most children do actually have, even after they've done a couple of hours of homework, 3 or 4 hours when they might be on social media and playing games. But what they're not watching television is what we did when we were their age.
Fortnite, I think there's this big moral panic now. You look at some of the headlines in the papers today, our success at the Fortnite World Cup is a national tragedy. At the heart of this, are we worrying about something many people don't understand properly? Because Fortnite is so much more than a video game. It's a platform, a shared virtual space where people socialise. And whether we like it or not, the genie's out of the bottle. It will be here to stay. It's here to stay. And there are hundreds of millions of people who play it all over the world. So if you are trying as a parent, I did say we'd give people advice to manage or to try and control or know what to do when it comes to their children's screen time. What would you advise?
So I think you're right. We don't want to demonise Fortnite. I mean, Fortnite has been a great catalyst to have this debate, which has long been needed in the industry. I think a couple of things I've done. I mean, I'm by no means the benchmark. And like Jaden's mum, I'm struggling with this every day. I think the first thing is to make sure the game's controllers are in a public place, because a lot of parents think their kids are playing Minecraft. But actually, if you look at the top best-selling video games of 2019. They're things like Call of Duty, Black Ops 4, Grand Theft Auto, Resident Evil 2. So I think firstly is having it in a public place. The second thing I've done, which has been moderately successful, is sort of create a pact with other parents to say, right, as a group of parents whose children all know each other, all best friends, what can we do collaboratively? And then you get away from the peer pressure, you know, of, oh, well, so-and-so's allowed it. So I think that has been successful. And I think the last thing from my side is don't give up. We do want our kids to have social skills and empathy. That's what we're fighting for. So don't give up. Keep going. I know it's a struggle.
Belinda, thank you very much. And Mark, very quickly, some advice from you.
Well, as I say, I think parents have to get involved with their children, know what games they're playing. You know, I was part of one of the people that got age ratings on video games way back in the early 1990s. A lot of parents, you know, they're giving inappropriate games to their children. You know, and I know there are, you know, I look at my son when he was 12 years old, everybody in his class was playing 18-plus games, Grand Theft Auto, Call of Duty. This shouldn't be happening. So parents, get involved, find out what your children are playing, and actually, you know, just try and foster it so that, you know, you give game time as a reward for doing other things that you want your children to do.
What is wellness?
I think of the image of wellness as like pure joy.
The important thing is for people to choose, like, what do you want to do?
Wellness are the things your grandmother told you to do.
When you really start to think about it, the answer feels more complicated. I'm Maya Feller, registered dietitian nutritionist and author.
And I'm Dr. Kavita Patel. We're the hosts of Well Now, Slate's new podcast on wellness.
Join us every Wednesday as we tackle that simple yet important question, what does it mean to be well?